not so fast.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. The world's biggest ever bank takeover is in doubt this morning. The Dutch bank ABN and Britain's Barclays agreed on a $91 billion merger over the weekend. That's been challenged by a rival bid. The deal now hinges on what happens to ABN's American banking unit. In London, Stephen Beard has been following the twists and turns of this story.
The Barclays and ABN AMRO boards had struck a deal, but a rival bidder, a consortium of banks, is trying to break up the party. The consortium has just made a higher offer for ABN, 13% higher, and most of it in cash. The ABN board has tried to block the consortium by selling one of its most attractive assets, its U.S. division, to Bank of America. Lawyers say ABN doesn't need its shareholders to approve this spoiling tactic. But analyst Mark Durling thinks ABN's shareholders just won't stand for it.
There's going to be a revolt from ABN AMRO shareholders. They are in charge of getting the best deal for their shareholders. And that certainly wouldn't be the case if they went ahead and sold that particular part of the business.
The ABN board should get an indication of how some of their shareholders feel tomorrow when they hold their annual general meeting in the Netherlands. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
China Telecom has given Google the right to put ads on over 400 websites owned by the Chinese company. Now, this deal covers national and local portals operated by China Telecom. It's the country's largest provider of fixed-line telephone and internet services. The company is hoping to increase online ad business and provide higher value-added services by hooking up with Google. Asian markets closed lower today. In Tokyo, the Nikkei slipped 215 points, or 1.2%. European markets trading higher right now. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow continued to make gains. It climbed 34 points to 12,953. The NASDAQ was flat. It will open this morning at 2524. And the S&P was also flat at 1480. Crude oil is at $64.90 a barrel right now. African officials meet in Addis Ababa this week. One item on that agenda is a new report which looks at the continent's problem of severe unemployment. Elisa Roth has the story.
More than 10% of Africans are unemployed. For young workers, the situation's even worse. 20% of those under 25 don't have a job. Princeton Lyman of the Council on Foreign Relations says Africa needs to get more involved in the global economy.
That means building up their trade capacity, improving the education levels, and improving the infrastructure.
But unemployment isn't just an economic concern. The Eurasia Group's Philippe Deponte says it's a security issue as well.
A very high percentage of youthful males who don't have productive employment and very few prospects of such employment, that's going to build up a lot of frustration. That's going to, in some cases, that will lead to social strife.
The report recommends African countries need to build up economic sectors with more employment opportunities, areas like manufacturing and service industries. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Where's Pat Paulson when you need him? MySpace and reality TV producer Mark Burnett are teaming up to search for an independent presidential candidate. The potential reality show, to be called Independent, comes with a $1 million prize, but the winner has to use the money to finance a run for the White House or give it to a political action committee or political cause.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management, Mellon.com. And by Medtronic, applauding the many contributions of America's volunteers. You can find volunteer opportunities in your community today by visiting volunteermatch.org. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
10 years ago, the U.S. launched a trade embargo against Sudan for the bloodshed in Darfur. That embargo has grown as campaigns throughout the country try to put pressure on Sudan's government through divestment. As a result, universities, asset funds, state treasuries have pulled money from companies that do business in that African nation. Some European investors have done the same, but as Gretchen Wilson reports from Khartoum, not all Western brands are gone.
This Daewoo minibus taxi takes me through chaotic city streets. Before U.S. sanctions kicked in the 1990s, it was the norm to see Fords and Land Rovers here. Today, we drive past a shining new Toyota dealership to the BMW showroom. That's one European brand still available here. Marketing manager Abdullah Mursi says sales have tripled in the past 6 years, just as the country's oil industry took off.
We believe that there is a very promising market for BMW in Sudan, and it's increasing rapidly day by day.
European companies don't fall under U.S. sanctions, but many have pulled out anyway to avoid bad press tied to the regional conflict centered in Darfur.
Those people who believe on what they are seeing in media, they are losing chance of business in Sudan.
Many Western firms with offices here declined to speak with Marketplace, including telecommunications giant Ericsson and oil field services company Schlumberger. Ahmed Shakur is with the German telecommunications company Siemens. Last year, the company said it wouldn't take any new orders here in light of the humanitarian conditions. Now, as part of a newly merged company, Nokia Siemens Networks, it may pull out entirely, or it may stay and weather any negative publicity. Shakur hopes the company will expand because he thinks cell phones will benefit average Sudanese.
Country like Sudan needs an infrastructure, whole infrastructure. They need roads, they need bridges to build a country.
Still, as divestment campaigns heat up, Western companies are likely to face fire for doing business here. This Coca-Cola plant in Khartoum sends 1 million bottles of Coke, Sprite, and Fanta speeding around a massive conveyor belt every day. Some Western companies, like Coca-Cola, have gotten a pass to do business here. Through a U.S.-approved licensing process, it sells its syrup to a private Sudanese bottler. But critics say that its brand, its business, and the local taxes it generates prop up the country's military regime. In Khartoum, Sudan, I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace.
If you're on the go, you can take us with you. That's because we're podcasting. Just visit our website, marketplace.org. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.